Chapter number 8, Hardy's view on fate or destiny. It should be noted that Hardy's philosophy of life is marked with a strong note of fatalism. In Hardy's novels, destiny is character. Man is a helpless creature, a mere puppet at the hands of destiny or fate. Man in Hardy's world does not enjoy free will. The keen eyes of fate are always looking intently on his activities with a view to intervening as and when it so likes. Man is not free to choose the type of life he wants to live. Obstacles and hindrances swarm on his path of life, and they thwart all his hopes and aspirations, though man wages a futile battle against the odds so created. A struggle between man on the one hand and on the other, an omnipotent and indifferent fate, that is Hardy's interpretation of the human situation. This struggle determines the character and the nature of his drama. Like other dramas, his turns on a conflict, but the conflict is not, as in most novels, between one man and another or between man and an institution. Hardy's novel is ranged against impersonal forces, the forces conditioning his fate. Note that his characters themselves are always aware of this. Henchard is obsessed by his hatred or Farfrae. Bathsheba looks on Troy as the author of her misfortunes, but from the point of vantage from which Hardy surveys their stories, Bathsheba and Henchard are seen to be under a delusion. For those whom they think their enemies are as much as themselves puppets in the hand of fate. In fact, fate is not they, is ultimately responsible for the quarrels and subsequent miseries, unless they were destined to do so, they would not be in conflict with each other. Note that Hardy refuses to make moral distinctions between his characters. On the contrary, his leading figures divide themselves into instruments for good and evil. This line between them is determined by their attitude to themselves. All alike are striving for happiness, but whereas Eustacia or Fitzpierce or Arabella strive with selfish passion, Gabriel and Tess and Giles are prepared to sacrifice their own happiness to ensure that of other people. This difference, however, in their character does not affect the issue. This is in the hands of fate. It may also be noted here that forces of fate in Hardy's novel incarnate themselves into two forms, a chance and as love. Of this, chance is most typical. In no other novels does chance exercise such a conspicuous influence on the course of events. Hardy has been blamed for this, and no doubt he does some things overdo it, but to condemn his use of chance altogether is to misunderstand his view of life. In life, we witness a battle between man and destiny. Destiny is an incrustable force. We do not understand its nature or its intentions, and we cannot therefore predict what it will do. In consequence, its acts always show themselves in the guise of inexplicable, unexpected blow of chance. Hardy himself says about human destiny, "The view of life as a thing to be put up with, replacing the gist of existence which was so intense in early civilization, must ultimately enter so thoroughly into the constitution of the advanced races that its facial expression will become expected as a new artistic departure. People already feel that a man who lives without disturbing a curve of feature or setting a mark of mental concern anywhere upon himself is too far removed for modern perspectiveness. to a modern type. This evidently shows that people will gradually develop a feeling of resignation and indifference, because it is unless to fight against omnipotent power. But on the other hand, it is advisable to develop an attitude of resistance against the shocks and bolts of destiny. The development of a mental cell will enable the man to overcome the depression that will enable his faculties to give a brave fight to his adverse fate. In fact, Hardy pictures the future generations not as beautiful and robust like the Hellenic figures, but as people physically weak but mentally strong. Hardy is of the opinion that in future the idea of mere joy of living will be replaced by a sense of resignation and indifference towards the joys and sorrows that life offers, and that people will develop a mental outlook that will neither feed joy and at good fortune, nor it will be shocked at the unkind blows of destiny. In the words of Edmund Gosse, abandoned by God, treated with scorn by nature, man lies helplessly at the mercy of those purblind doomsters, accident, chance, and time, from which he has to endure injury and insult from the cradle to the grave.